All right. Well, I suppose you know why I'm up here. If you don't, you probably need to pay more attention to how things work around here. The sermon today is called The Time is Near. If you're wondering why it's called that, the time is near for you to find out. Talking to other people about what we believe is something that is fundamental to our faith as Christians, but unfortunately it's a topic that is often it's often neglected from our conversations. Inviting people to church is necessary to build our congregation, but for most of us, the last time we invited someone was probably a long time ago. And among all this, and among life in this imperfect world, we need to keep our eye on our end goal, the coming kingdom of God. This could be one of the most important sermons you've ever heard, so no falling asleep in the back row, Ben. When was the last time you invited someone to church? Was it a week ago? A month ago? A year ago? The answer should be yesterday. This morning, even. People walking outside. But again, this isn't true for most of us. Now, I'm definitely not a perfect example. I'm not saying that by any means. I've invited two families to our church in the last month or so. They're not here. But those are about the only two that I've ever seriously asked to come to our church. The reason that I never asked more people to visit is because I was younger and just never thought about it. But this is not an excuse for telling people the greatest news to ever exist. On the second day of General Conference a while back, Pastor Nathan of the Oregon Church shared a method for inviting people to church that I thought was pretty interesting. He said, people will be more likely to want to go to church if you give them a time, a place, and someone to go with. Not having these three things is a common impediment for people actually visiting your church. So an example is, meet me at the Flag Center Church, 9:30 on Sunday, and I'll sit with you and explain things to you. And if you do that, people will probably be more receptive to visiting. Now you may be asking, well, why should we be having new people come into our church? I like it how it is. Now the answer to this question may be obvious, but to others it may not be. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew 28:19. We'll read 20 as well. Matthew 28:19. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Now this is Jesus giving his disciples instructions on what to do now that he's not going to be among them any longer. But these directives carry over to us as well, even though we didn't walk beside Jesus as the original 12 apostles did. So our job is to tell the story of Jesus to as many people as possible and hopefully lead them to accept him as their savior, because Alex didn't read our verse for today, but that kind of messes things up. All right, the verse was... you got it. All right, you can read it for us, Alex. Can you say the reference again? Where's it found? Joel 2, 1 through 11 for the recording. So, the day of the Lord is coming. It's close at hand, so we need to invite as many people as possible. We also need to evangelize in our daily lives, because say you invite someone, maybe a coworker, to church and they start coming. They're only in a spiritual environment for 0.59523809.5% of the hours out of their week. This is assuming that they come to only the church service portion of Sunday mornings and not the midweek Bible study. But if you had the opportunity to talk to this person at work, you could greatly increase the amount of time that they are hearing about Jesus, which could cause them to increase their efforts in evangelizing to other people, and so on and so forth. The cycle continues. And we should also be spreading the word in our normal conversations. even something as simple as saying, I'll be praying for you, instead of I'll be thinking of you, could make somebody think. I recently met a guy at our airport who asked me if I would be attending the ground school at the airport on Wednesdays at 6:30. I replied no, because I have a Bible study at my church on Wednesdays. He then asked me what denomination I was a part of, and we proceeded to have a probably 20-minute conversation about our faiths. This all happened because I dropped church into a conversation. Now, later I saw the same guy out on the street with a presentation board, flipping pages over, talking to people about what he believes. He's a Baptist, by the way. I somewhat like that method of evangelism, but I think for someone to develop a lasting bond with the church, your invitation has to be a little more personal. I think telling them about it on the street is not going to make them want to return. If you'll turn to Acts 28:30. Sorry. Hey, I need to find it just like you do. All right. For 2 whole years, Paul stayed in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Now, this is a great message because he stayed in his own rented house. And I suppose, considering Paul, it's probably better that it was a house and not a prison. But he stayed there and welcomed all who came to see him. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't really want a whole bunch of random people just coming in my house. If it's to talk about Jesus, maybe, but I'm probably not going to be happy about it. Probably wash some of their feet, too. He welcomed them. He was happy for them to come in. For in verse 31, he proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. These people are coming in. These people coming, he could have been spies for the government who were sent to kill Paul for his teachings. He didn't care. He welcomed them and preached to them without hindrance. This is what we should all strive to do. Teach about Jesus no matter what happens, and things will happen. Just read Revelation. Times will be tough. Soon, in fact, the time is near. And while you're doing all this, you can't lose sight of your hope, which is the kingdom. It's so easy to get bogged down with our school, our work, our hobbies, anything, that you stray from the path of righteousness and start to pursue these things instead of God. The end of life as we know it is near, but after it's come and gone, will you be standing on the side of God? Or the side of all this other stuff? It's important to ask yourself that question right now so that you can dump the stuff and live a life of right standing with the creator of the universe, the one who made it all, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. And if you're going to be on the wrong side, you need to make the decision today to turn over your life to Jesus and die to yourself and the stuff of life and to be resurrected a new person through the waters of baptism. Do it today, because the Lord is close. The day of the Lord is close at hand, and you never know when your time is going to be up. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15:22. We're going to read through 2:25. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ the first fruits, then, when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. This is saying, everybody's going to die. Then everybody's going to be raised. But it's going to happen in this order. Jesus has been raised already. When he returns, those who are in him will be raised. When this happens, the end will come, and Jesus is going to return control to God after he's gotten rid of all the bad stuff. Jesus has to be in power until all his enemies are under his feet. My point here is, will you be with Jesus or under his feet? Because I sure wouldn't want to be under Jesus' feet. He only wore sandals. His feet are probably grimy. If you haven't accepted Jesus, today's the day. Acts 8:36, here's some water. Nothing stands in the way of you being baptized. If you'd like to make that decision, come to me or Dan or Brian or Rick after the prayer. There's a lot to choose from there, so you shouldn't have trouble finding one. Three things you need to remember. This is the part where you take notes. Invite people to church. However often you do it now is not enough. Act like the person's life depends on it, because it does. Always be teaching others of their salvation, even when you're not at church. And focus only on the kingdom. It should be your end goal, your number one priority in life. That's all, folks.